Maddie, it's me, and I'm going to be recording my second episode for audiobooks. It's from the same story, More Bones, from the same book, More Bones, written, selected, and retold by Ariel North Olsen and Howard Schwartz, illustrated by Ian Geist. Okay, so we're going to go to the second story of this book, which is called Counting Astria, Courting Astria. It's from Germany. So let's start. George knew his future was assured now that he was apprenticed to the greatest chef in all of Germany. He was ready to look for a bride. One day, George was walking along the street when he noticed a long-haired maiden about 50 paces ahead. He was intrigued by the way her blood-red hair swayed from side to side as she hurried along. She must be the most beautiful maiden in the entire city of Worms, he thought to himself. He must meet her. He followed the red-haired maiden through the twisting streets of the city until he saw her stop to unlock a door. She stepped inside so quickly that he didn't catch a glimpse of her face, but at least he had discovered where she lived. He approached her house and knocked three times, holding his breath. Would she open the door? She didn't, but a lovely voice responded. Who's there? My name is George, he replied. Soon I will be the finest chef in all Worms, and I am looking for a lovely bride to share my fortune. I would like to meet you, she answered softly, but my parents are not well. Could you return tomorrow? George was thrilled. Can you tell me your name? He said, I will return. It is Astria, she said, and then bid him goodbye. What a beautiful name, replied George. He said goodbye and hurried home. That night he lay awake thinking about the red-haired maiden. It was close to midnight when he finally fell asleep. He dreamed that he followed Astria through the streets of the city, just as he had done that day. But in his dream, she continued into the forest. He followed her until she reached a very old tree. He hoped she would return around so he could see her face. But before she did, he woke up. George opened his eyes, disappointed that he had not seen her beautiful face. He wanted to see how she looked. Perhaps he would that afternoon, but now he must get dressed and hurry off to work. This was his first day as an apprentice to the great chef. When he arrived at the inn, the chef said, "Today I will teach you how to make blood sausage." When George mixed the pig's blood with the other ingredients, he couldn't help but think of Astria's beautiful red hair and how it swayed when she walked. The chef tasted the blood sausage and told George he had never had an apprentice who learned so quickly. George was a happy man when he left the inn and set out for Astria's house. He knocked on her door three times. "Dear George," said Astria from the other side of the wooden door, "I'm so sorry, but my parents are not well. I can't meet you today." George was both disappointed and surprised. He was disappointed that he could not meet her, but he was surprised that she knew who was knocking before he said a word. "Astria," he said, "God willing, we will meet tomorrow." That night, George twisted and turned in his bed. He could not get beautiful maiden out of his mind. At midnight, sleep finally overcame him, and he again dreamed that he followed Astria deep into the forest. She walked past the old tree to a little hut and went inside. He crept close and peered through a crack in the door. There he saw Astria facing a fireplace and stirring a blood-red broth. Just when he thought she might turn around, he awoke. He was even more frustrated than before because he still had not seen her face. But it was time to go to work. That day, the chef taught George how to make beet soup exactly the color of blood. As he stirred it, George couldn't help but think of the red broth that Astria had stirred in his dream. He took this as a sign that they were meant for each other and that she would soon be his bride. After work, George hurried to Astria's house. Once again, George knocked three times, but Astria still did not open the door. Yet her voice seemed even lovelier than before. "My parents are too sick for me to meet you now," she said, "but at midnight I will be in front of your house, standing by the fountain in the square." George was astounded. "How did you know where I live?" "Haven't I visited you in your dreams for the past two midnights?" said Astria. George felt a chill race along his spine. She knew about his dreams, even though he had not revealed them to anyone. George was amazed by her remarkable power. I will meet you there," he replied. As midnight approached, George stood by the fountain, waiting anxiously. But just as the town clock struck 12, he slumped down on the cobblestone street. His sudden need to sleep was irresistible. George dreamed he was outside the cottage in the forest. He watched through the crack of the door as Astrea stirred her red broth. Her hair swayed as if it were alive each time she moved. He knocked, and Astrea invited him in. "I've been waiting for you, George." He was still asleep when Astrea flew through the air and landed beside him at the fountain. For a moment, she watched him dreaming about her. Then she leaned over him, tossing her hair so that it covered his face. All at once, her hair began to writhe like so many bright red serpents, each one sucking blood from his neck. In his dream, Astrea turned to look at George, her red hair swinging to reveal her face at last. But it was not the face of a beautiful maiden. It was the face of a wrinkled old hag, swooping down on him like a vulture and devouring him. George screamed and screamed, but not a sound came forth. His heart had stopped beating. All the blood had been drained from his body. The end. Thank you for listening, everyone. This was the second story, and we'll most likely be doing another story from this book next time, so I hope you enjoy, and keep listening, because more episodes are going to be coming in soon.